We get things underway by welcoming back to the program our friend from ABC 6 in Providence, two-time Rhode Island Sportscaster of the Year, Nick Coit, joins us. Hello there, Nick.
Hello there, Rich. What's happening?
Not too much. Is it spring yet in your neck of the woods? I'm ready for that now.
Well, it feels like it, and everybody down here is like, I know you guys have had some snow. We've barely had, knock on wood, any snow down here. And people are like, well, where's all the snow? And it's like, well, don't poke the bear because you know what might be coming. We still got a couple months left, but it feels like it. I think we reached 50 today.
Nice. Yeah, we're in the 40s. It's been okay. We haven't had a lot of snow, but no complaints from my end here. Well, let's talk about so many things going on in the New England sports scene, and it seems like more of them for those teams that aren't actually in season. Let's start with the Red Sox and the search for a brand new manager. I would think they need to wrap that up fairly soon.
Yeah, it feels that way, but at the same time, it's only been, you know, I know the Mets made their hire and made it pretty swiftly, but, you know, it's only been, what, you know, less than 2 weeks. So I think the Red Sox are taking their time here and making sure that they make a strong hire or a hire that they feel comfortable with, whether or not it is, you know, long-term or if it's somebody just for 2020 and they reevaluate, but seems like they're taking their time to make the right choice. I think if we haven't heard the rumblings outside of the organization or any reports of calls being made anywhere, that tells me, Rich, that they're looking internal. And I think with the experience of Ron Renneke as the bench coach and obviously as a manager in the major leagues, that could be a guy. And it's been trendy for younger guys who are not too far removed from the game to be, you know, in that manager's role. And so I know it'd be half, you know, winning the PR battle, half, you know, going along with that trend. But, you know, Jason Varitek is a name that comes up, and I wouldn't be surprised if he's being, you know, considered right now.
See, I just don't see that given some of the things in Varitek's past and the fact that, as a couple people have said, he's not the most engaging guy in the world. He can be a little bit standoffish, and I don't know how well he would motivate young guys. I keep hearing the name Sam Fold as a possibility, a guy who played recently in the majors, who knows Heim Bloom from their time in Tampa and is a big analytics guy. And I wonder if they're saying to Bloom, look, let's not worry about an emergency one-year guy. Let's get your man in who's going to be here for the next five-plus years.
And I would agree with you. I think they need somebody with – I thought it was pretty striking when – you know, because like I said, I think Varitek is a popular name, but he wouldn't be my choice. My choice would be somebody with some sort of charismatic personality that is similar to Alex Cora.
Yeah.
At winter weekend, hearing Xander Bogaerts say, you know, somebody asked him, who would you want for manager? And he said, someone like Cora. That tells me everything I need to know, because that – Xander Bogaerts is a guy that is a leader in that clubhouse now. And so if he wants somebody like that, then, you know, that's what I'm looking for, is somebody with that kind of personality. I've heard people throw out the name Eduardo Perez.
Yes.
Who I know has been in the broadcast booth, but that is a guy that has some charisma, has some personality. You know, even I know he's been pretty, you know, personable on Nesson. You know, I don't know how much experience he has, you know, managing in a dugout, but a guy like a Carlos Pena or somebody like that, like, somebody with some charisma, I think, would work well for this team, because it did with Cora.
Well, also, some other changes likely coming along the way with the roster. In the latest rumors, a possible, at least, conversation between the Red Sox and the San Diego Padres involving Mookie Betts and possibly a guy like Will Myers coming back the other way. Do you think this is something that gets done prior to spring training or even before the start of the regular season?
I don't know. I hear that rumor, and I don't know. Does it really make a ton of sense for the Red Sox to move on from Mookie Betts and then take on a long-term contract from an outfielder that isn't one of those young, you know, prime prospects anymore in Will Myers? He's not the Will Myers of 5 years ago. He's Will Myers with a, you know, a bad contract. So would it make sense to bring him on? I don't know. If it means getting some of the prospects, maybe, but I don't know. The Red Sox want to shed salary, according to what John Henry said back in September, and whether, you know, he puts it on the media or not, he said it. And so, to me, I don't know, that deal, to me, I hear it, I hear the rumor, I get that you could get something in return, but I think at this point, Rich, especially with us being so close to spring training now, I think they hold on to Mookie, see how the season goes. If the Red Sox are not doing well or think about selling at the trade deadline, I think some team in July might look at it and say, boy, if we could go out and get Mookie Betts, that would put us over the top for contending for a World Series. And maybe they give up that prime prospect or that untouchable prospect, and maybe the Red Sox can get more. I think that's the best route to go. Whether or not a deal gets done before spring training, I'm not sure. But that one just didn't sound really sexy to me.
No, I couldn't agree more. And I think you have a chance at getting more in return if you wait till the trade deadline. And look, in the worst-case scenario, if they're having a pretty good season and are headed to the postseason or have a shot at it, I'm okay with letting him play out his contract and nothing else. You have a great year and a run to the playoffs, and you get a draft pick as compensation at the end. I'm fine with that, too.
Me, too. Absolutely. I've felt that way the whole time. And I've said, too, I compare – you know, Mookie, his situation with, you know, if you were to deal him at the trade deadline in July, you know, do we think that the Cubs would have given up Gleyber Torres in an off season for Chapman before that season started?
Right.
I'm not sure. But they went out, they got Chapman, the Cubs, and they dealt Gleyber Torres, and look at what Gleyber Torres is now. He was a can't-miss guy, and it's because the Yankees waited. So that's something that I say, you know, if you could deal at the deadline, you may be able to get somebody like that in return for your future.
We're talking with Nick Coit here on Downtown. Well, let's move to another team, perhaps in transition, the Patriots, and now rumors about Tom Brady thinking about possibly the Chargers. Our old friend Gary Tanguay keeps telling us he's going to Tennessee to play for Mike Vrabel. What do you think? His likely destination, what are the odds he stays right in Foxborough?
I think they become Leslie. Wow, I just combined two words into one, Rich. Wow. Less likely by the day. I think as we get closer to that March 16th when the tampering begins, I think that's going to be the deadline. We heard Adam Schefter say it yesterday, and I think he's onto something there. I think the Patriots will look at it and say, okay, if we don't have him signed, we're going with Plan B by March 16th, March 17th, March 18th. So. I think it becomes less likely by the day. We'll see. They'd have to make the money work. Brady would have to, you know, come back. They'd have to give him multiple years, I think. To me, I thought it's interesting to see him going out in public in places. And I know he's been to, you know, big events and big fights before. But seeing him standing there talking to Mark Davis and not for a small chit-chat conversation, they were talking for a while, Rich. That tells me Brady is he's already having some sort of, you know, putting his feelers out there, having some sort of conversation. So I think anything's possible. I think he's open to it. I think the Patriots are open to bringing him back. I don't think anybody really knows what's going to happen at this point. That's why I think we're all fascinated by it, and it's going to be fascinating to see how it plays out.
And if he chooses to go that route, are they happy with Jared Stidham? Do they trade up and try to get themselves in a position to draft somebody like Tua? What direction do they go?
That's a good question. I think they like Stidham. Whether or not they feel he's ready after a year being a backup, I'm not sure. I think they felt probably better about, say, Garoppolo when they had him here after three seasons, stepping in when Brady had suspension. So I bet you they'd like to have another year under his belt before they give him the reins. But, hey, if they got a young quarterback, if Brady's leaving, you know, I would think the Patriots would look at it and say, let's look toward the future. Why are we bringing in a retread or a guy that didn't work out another place? You know, like everybody keeps throwing the name Andy Dalton out there.
And I'm No.
Yeah, right? Like, why? Why would you do that? You know, why not go with a young quarterback? Maybe draft another quarterback and say, okay, we got two young guys in camp, sign a third, you know, veteran. You know, even like, hey, they kept Cody Kessler around all year. Maybe he's your backup. You know, maybe they were training him to be that. So maybe that is Plan B. Maybe it's Stidham with Kessler as the backup. I'm not sure. But if Brady doesn't come back, go young. If you're going to go young, go young. Don't go all in. Don't go, you know, halfway. You know, that's the feeling I have.
Yeah, and I wonder, too, if Belichick, I think you and I have talked about this before, if he doesn't look around and see the Lamar Jacksons, the Mahomes of the world, and say, you know, pocket passers are nice, but boy, these dual threat guys are even better.
Or even a pocket passer that can move.
Yeah.
You know, I think you can't stay, you know, still in the pocket anymore. I don't think that's with the speed of the game and the speed of the rushers and the talent that is out there. You know, I think you're right, Rich. I think they looked at it, and I think they saw a little bit of that in Garoppolo when they drafted him. I think he was a little bit more mobile, and that's, but he could still throw the ball, you know, and throw the ball pretty well. And so that's why I think they looked at him and said, you know, way back when, a few years back, okay, this is our succession plan. You know, we'll have him go in, and then, you know, Brady will, by the time he's ready, Brady will be, you know, ready to hang him up. Obviously, that didn't work out, but I think that was a hint into what kind of quarterback they're looking for. And I think Stidham might have a little bit of that, being able to use his legs a little bit. You know, but we'll see. I think you're right, though. I think that's the future of the NFL. You need speed, and you need to be able to be mobile. And, you know, all these young quarterbacks that are rising in the league, that's what they are.
Are you going to be covering the Friars, a big showdown with Villanova tomorrow?
I am. Yeah, it's going to be a big one. The Friars, this is a tough road right now. The Big East is, it's difficult to navigate through. The Friars just lost at number 10 Seton Hall. A couple weeks ago, they hosted number 5 Butler here. Now they've got number 9 Villanova. It is a brutal schedule. But, you know, home games are important, and so that's why I think everybody's looking forward to seeing what the Friars can do tomorrow, hosting Villanova here. They beat them when they were number 1 a couple of years ago at the Dunk, so they're familiar with getting a big victory here over Nova. Should be a great atmosphere, as always, and we're looking forward to it. This is the heart of college hoop season. We're having fun.
Oh, it's a great time of year. Well, say hello to our old friend Bob Walsh.
Will do. Yeah, he's doing a great job down here. You can see that he's got a lot of joy being around this program and working with Coach Cooley. It's fun to have him down here.
Awesome. Hey, it's fun to talk with you, Nick. We appreciate it. As always, thanks for making time for us, and we'll catch up with you again soon.
Thank you, Rich. I appreciate it.
Nick Coit of ABC6 in Providence talking a little Boston sports and more with us to kick off a Friday afternoon program.